Well, that brings us to our final case study. It illustrates the acute treatment of migraine through Crystal, a young woman from Nixa, Missouri. Crystal is using a combination treatment for her migraines.
I first started experiencing headaches when I was in elementary school. The headaches, they were more of just a nuisance. It wasn't too terrible, the pain, but it was just constant pressure. I didn't take any sort of medication when I was younger. The headaches eventually turned into migraines about when I was in high school. They got more severe. They lasted a lot longer. I would occasionally have headaches for 3 weeks in a row. I would wake up with them. I felt terrible throughout the day. I took ibuprofen for the headaches. I definitely felt like the migraines were controlling my life. I didn't go out as much as I wanted to and hang out with friends. I was in band in high school, and I had to go ahead and take care of making sure I was still practicing. I finally went to the doctor after I'd had my wisdom teeth pulled. The medication they'd given me then caused me to get another headache. It was actually my boyfriend who finally got me to go to the doctor. At the doctor's visit, he did a few blood samples and found out everything was normal. The doctor prescribed a combination tablet for me. It really works. I take it as soon as I feel a headache coming on, and about 2 hours or less later, I'm completely headache-free for the rest of the day, usually even several days after that. I am currently a junior at Missouri State University. I am majoring in music. I've only been taking the medication for about 3 months now, and it works really well. The migraines aren't affecting my day-to-day life as they once were. They're definitely less frequent. I changed my diet, and I've definitely started exercising more, getting out and being as active as I can. Rock climbing makes me feel kind of like I can conquer almost anything. Whenever you're 40 feet up in the air on a rock wall and you look down, you realize that you're the one who just climbed those 40 feet.
Good job. Yeah.
Thank you. No problem.
It's been a while. Now, I can go to school and I can live a migraine-free life almost. I still have the migraines, but as soon as I feel one coming on, I go ahead and I take my medicine. I don't wait like I used to until it's at its peak intensity. The medication has changed my life by giving me the opportunities to do what I want to do without having that pain always in my head.
Well, you know, a couple of things strike me about this case. First of all, we all went into medicine to restore health and change people's lives, right? You saw how a medication that was specific for her migraine changed her life and restored her health and made her confident the next time she gets an attack. Even though she's still going to get attacks, she's confident now that she can handle it. And that confidence and positive attitude is helpful. Very helpful to a patient, not just because it's nice to have a positive attitude, but because it may have a therapeutic effect or an impact on how quickly she can get rid of the headache.
I think Crystal's a good example of a patient who has benefited from stratified care that is matching the intensity of treatment to the type of headache and the disability that the patient is experiencing. She's not a patient that I think most of us would predict would benefit or respond to over-the-counter anti-inflammatory medications. In fact, she needs a migraine-specific drug, and she needed a combination of drugs that work in different ways. So she's a really good, I think, example of the fact that you need to look at the individual patient and try to match treatment to what they're experiencing rather than follow an algorithm stepwise, in a way that might not be appropriate for that patient.
I think we're really rethinking migraine now. In the old days, we used to think one drug for one disorder with one mechanism of action. Clearly, for hypertension and HIV, that's not the way to go. We're beginning to see with migraine patients, you need a strategy for when simple medications or even the triptans fail, so-called augmentation strategy. They talked about earlier, combining a triptan with a nonsteroidal is logical because it overcomes both central and peripheral sensitization. Multiple mechanisms of action, I think, is where we're going now.
Are there any other medications that should be included in migraine treatment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the antiemetics can be very useful in the treatment of migraine. In the outpatient setting, antiemetics not only relieve the nausea associated with a migraine attack, they can enhance the absorption of the triptan or whatever other medication that the patient might be taking, and this because they stimulate the gut to move. And there are actually placebo-controlled studies to show that some of these antiemetics are very useful in treating the pain of migraine. So that, for example, in the emergency room setting, we often, very frequently, will use parenteral antiemetics intravenously that can be very effective alone in just treating a migraine attack.
And the sedative properties of some of the antiemetics can come in handy if a patient has not responded to first-line therapy. An antiemetic that is also sedating can help for the nausea, the headache, and put them to sleep until we hope the attack ends.
We've reviewed the acute treatment options for migraine. Is there such a thing as treating too often?
Yes, there is. And evidence suggests that almost all of the medications that are effective in treating individual attacks of migraine, if overused, can cause progression of migraine. That is an increase in the frequency and perhaps the severity of attacks, so-called medication overuse headache. And although the threshold at which that happens probably varies depending on the individual patient and may vary depending on the drug class, as a general rule of thumb, we recommend not using acute medication of any kind more than twice a week to treat headaches. So that's a good line in the sand for the individual general practitioner to think of drawing for patients. Mm-hmm.
And when should a primary care physician refer a patient to a specialist?
Basically, I tell physicians there are two times when you refer a patient. When there's diagnostic uncertainty and you're concerned or the patient's concerned that something else is being overlooked, or there's therapeutic failure. So if a patient has intermittent migraine and despite your best efforts at trying to treat them with the acute medications, even migraine-specific medications, you're not getting anywhere.
Doctors, our thanks to each of you for such a thorough discussion about the treatment of acute migraine. We've covered the diagnosis of migraine, the use of both nonspecific analgesics and migraine-specific medications, the options for combination therapy, and the use of rescue medications. So if each of you could leave primary care physicians and other health care providers with a specific take-home message, what would that be?
Well, maybe I'll leave you with two take-home messages. One, a diagnostic take-home message, and that would be that when a patient presents to a healthcare provider's office with a chief complaint of headache, once secondary causes have been excluded, 9 times out of 10, the diagnosis is going to be migraine. But just to be sure, you don't have to use all the complicated criteria that was talked about earlier. Remember the acronym PIN, right? PIN the diagnosis. P stands for photophobia or sensitivity to light, I for impairment during an attack or disability, and the N is for the nausea associated with attack. So for someone who has recurrent attacks of headaches with the PIN, if patients respond positively to those three questions, 98% accuracy that the diagnosis is going to be migraine.
I want to remind our viewers that once you've made or pinned the diagnosis of migraine, it's important to stratify and tailor your therapy to the disability and the circumstances of the attacks that the patient in front of you has, rather than blindly follow an algorithm and use medications that have previously been ineffective or overused by the patient. And beyond that, when you've decided on therapy, make sure the patient's using it the right way, make sure that they're using it early in an attack, make sure that they're using an adequate dose, and set clear limits for them on frequency of use so that they don't get into trouble.
I'd like to make 3 points. First, no matter what medication you use, the earlier you use it, the better results. 2, stratify care. Patients differ, and patients have different kinds of attacks. For example, nonsteroidals clearly work. By the time a patient comes to a doctor, they've either failed or they've failed the more severe attacks. So you need to let your patient tell you what kind of attacks they have. Well, I have the little attacks, I can take my over-the-counter, I have the bad attacks, nothing works. Give them what works for the attacks, and don't give them what didn't work in the past. And lastly, if you're giving somebody a triptan and they don't work, how can you make it work better? 1, you can give it early. 2, you can add a preventative. 3, you can go from an oral tablet to an injectable nasal spray. And lastly, you can add an adjunct, such as either a nonsteroidal or perhaps even an antiemetic.
Well, doctors, thank you all for participating in this truly important discussion about migraine. I'd also like to thank our viewers, and I hope today's conversation will help you in the care of patients with migraine headaches. Also, I encourage each of you to go to your computer, log on to discoveryhealthcme.com, and take the post test. It only takes a few minutes to earn free credit for this program. If you'd like to see the program again, you can watch it online, download a podcast, or order a DVD. The graphics and references from the program are also available online. For additional credit, you can complete an interactive case study game brought to you by our friends at How Stuff Works. The interactive game can be found at discoveryhealthcme.com. Finally, I'd like to thank the University of Virginia for accrediting this program, and I'd also like to thank GlaxoSmithKline for the educational grant that made the program possible. Until next time, I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Health CME.